it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
Really looking forward to this interview. There is a story. Did you say you found this in the New York Times?
The title grabbed my attention like this, and it just said, Finding God in the App Store.
So listen to this. The faith tech industry is booming, powered by chatbots on religious apps that are rocketing to the top of Apple's App Store. Bible Chat, which is a Christian app, has more than 30 million downloads. Hallo, a Catholic app, beat Netflix, Instagram, and TikTok for the number one spot in the store at one point last year. In China, people are using DeepSeek to try to decode their fortunes. The apps are attracting tens of millions of dollars in investments, and people are paying up to $70 a year for their subscription. Let me just give you an example with how these conversations go. You're in the app, all right, whether it's Hallo or Bible Chat, whatever. You write, Hi, God. God, and I'm using air quotes, of course, writes back, Greetings, my child. The future is in God's merciful hands. Do you trust in his divine plan? Amen. Yes, this person writes back. God, again, air quotes, writes back, Indeed, my child, the future can often seem daunting, but remember, God holds it in his hands.
The chatbots are actually designed to mimic religious figures or even God, providing responses based on religious texts, offering a new form of spiritual engagement. They will even take your confession. However, as you can imagine, this has raised some concerns as well.
Joining us is the pastor for Resurrection in Leawood, good friend of the program, Adam Hamilton. Pastor, good afternoon and welcome.
Hi, Pastor. Hey, thank John you David. For being here on such short notice.
Sure. It's always great to talk to you guys. I love you guys.
So first, what does it say, Pastor, that so many tens of millions of people around the world are turning to technology? I had never heard the term the technology chat until I read this article. I didn't even know there was religious tech, as Scott just mentioned.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't be too surprising. I mean, I think people, when they, you know, when they're not feeling well, they go online to figure out, and now they can use AI to say, hey, I feel this way, I have these symptoms, what do you think it could be? And AI is going to spit back possible answers for them. And so I don't think it's surprising that people might, especially if you don't feel connected with a group or a faith community, where somebody might reach out to God by means of AI to see, you know, what kind of answers might be out there. So it's not totally surprising to me. And I think it could be, it has some value if you're careful, in my opinion. I went online today after I saw the article just to test it out myself. You know, I thought, okay, I'm going to see how this works.
And yeah.
I can't remember the site I went to, but it was kind of interesting to type in some questions or concerns and see what came out.
Is it not a little bit sacrilegious, though, in your opinion, if someone is, and it's not someone, it, let's be honest, it's AI, is mimicking God, is pretending to speak as God. I mean, how is that not from a religious, somebody in a position like yours, how do you view that as anything but sacrilegious?
Yeah, I think the ones where it's God speaking as if it's if it's even comes across as a person speaking, I don't think that's so helpful. And especially if God, you know, if the AI is speaking in the voice of God, I would say that really would be sacrilegious, or, you know, at least in my mind, it's really hard to say that you could say God, you know, that you should look at that as God speaking. I think what some of them have done is they might collate the Bible. They might take the entire biblical text, and you might ask a question. I'd rather have somebody say, what does the Bible say? And then the chatbot could give you back, here's a variety of scriptures that might answer your question. But when it takes the first person, you know, personal, like I, God, am saying this to you, I think that could that could be very unhealthy for people spiritually. But the idea that you might search for answers using AI, I think has some value. I just, as an example, though, when you search, when I did some searches like this, what you find is typically the answers are fairly superficial, and they're often things that you would often, they might be scriptures that you would know already. Mm-hmm. And and I think the New York Times article mentioned they tend to be affirming. So they're going to try to be affirming and, you know, and relatively superficial. But that's not terrible. I just don't like the idea of it being God, you know, as though it's God's voice.
In first person.
Exactly. I think that's not helpful. And then another thing to be aware of is just, you know, garbage in, garbage out. You want to narrow down your, you know, the scope in which AI is searching information because, you know, again, there's all kinds of religion out there. There's some that's positive and some that's healthy and helpful, and there's some that's harmful and hurtful. And so generally it's, you know, the vast majority of, say, Christian information hopefully would be positive. But even there, you've got very differing perspectives. You got far left liberal, you got far right conservative, and you got a whole bunch of people in between. So I think the degree to which you can narrow it down and say, I'm a Roman Catholic, and I would like to know, you know, what does the Catholic Church or what might be Catholic answers to this theological question or to my personal spiritual question? And that'll give you, you know, if you're Catholic, that might give you some you know, good feedback based on thousands of Catholic sermons they might have been analyzed. Or if you're Southern Baptist or if you're United Methodist. And so that can begin to help some narrow it down. And that's true in any kind of AI search.
One of the women they interviewed for the article said, look, you don't want to bother your pastor at 3 a.m. And I'm guessing you would agree with that, Pastor Hamilton.
When people call me at 3 a.m. to ask me a silly question, that would not be good.
Yeah, correct.
But at the same time, you know, at 3 a.m., if somebody's in crisis, I mean, it can be helpful, but I think the key thing is engage your critical thinking whenever you're tying into AI. AI is only, it's only algorithms and machine learning, and it can't, and that's true when it's, you know, when it comes to health too. You know, it's one thing to ask AI to give you a diagnosis on something, but you better see a doctor too.
Yes.
And I also think, you know, some of these are, they can be comforting, like, you know, how are you tonight, my child? Are you feeling okay or whatever? But remember, you're talking to a machine, and somewhere along the way, you actually need a friend, somebody with skin on, who's good. And I think about when people send prayer emojis to each other. You know, well, it's one thing to send a prayer emoji; it's another thing to show up with a meal at somebody's house and give them a hug.
Yeah.
And so, I don't think the technology can replace that, but it can be helpful as far as it goes.
But, Pastor, what does that tell you as to where we are as a society that people are, for lack of a better term, turning to technology almost as if it is an Adam Hamilton or God himself or herself, whatever God is. What does that tell you?
Well, I think a lot of us are, I mean, our technology, we carry it with us all the time. You know, we have it with us late at night when we can't sleep.
Yep.
And I think it's easy for us to, and I don't know that that's necessarily bad. I do think we're over-technologized, if you will. You know, we're way too dependent on our technology. But again, everything can be good or bad, right? I mean, it can be used in a way that's helpful. Like, are there scriptures that might help me understand suffering? Or are there scriptures that might help me when I'm afraid? That can be really powerful. All of a sudden, you've got a whole bunch of scriptures about fear and how to overcome fear. But if you're counting on that being your, you know, understanding, and I think about this when it comes to meeting with people. When I'm sitting with somebody and I'm looking in their eyes, I can see things I can't see just over the phone. Or when I, you know, when you have a chance again to hold somebody's hands in a moment or to, you know their history and their story, it's different than if you're just typing something into AI.
I love this quote, and this is from the founder of Bible Chat. She says, people come to us with all different types of challenges, mental health issues, well-being, emotional problems, work problems, money problems. And then someone plugged in this question, Pastor, why am I poor yet others are rich? And the reply that they got, that they highlight in the New York Times article, goes back to scripture. And so I think that can be helpful, like you said, but I'm also uncomfortable with people in a mental health crisis, especially our teenagers, turning to any kind of chatbot for that. We've seen very dark outcomes there.
Well, and Pastor,
well, I think that's right.
And Pastor, I'm with you. If it's an app or an AI generated response, that if you were to go to it and say, I'm afraid. What does the Bible say about me being afraid? Yeah. Or I don't feel worthy, you know, of the things in my life. I'm petrified for my my children or my parents or whatever. If it generated and gave you passages in the Bible that might be able to help you in that regard, I'm fine with that. Yeah. But like you, the idea that an AI chatbot is mimicking God and is all but pretending to, well, not all but pretending to be the voice of God, I've got a real problem with that.
No, I think that's right. I think you should. I think it's, again, it's a resource, but what pretends to be God and people read it or hear it as God, that I think is not a helpful and can actually be harmful. You know, there are, and even when it comes to scripture, you know, you have to interpret scripture. You have to understand what's the historical context of that particular verse or this verse. And if you don't have that, you know, you can take a scripture and you can run with it in a way that it was never intended to be run with.
Because
so I think those are...
Pastor, we know technology can be good because of how many people think about it that tune in who are maybe homebound or can't get to resurrection, who tune in on their laptops or whatever to hear what you have to say each week.
Yeah, that's a huge blessing. I mean, there are so many people who are able to worship today who couldn't before. Either they were out of town, they're sick in the hospital, they're, you know, whatever it might be. That's a huge gift that we have. So technology is, again, a great blessing, but we have to be able to, you know, critically engage it. We have to be able to recognize its limitations. And I think the same is true with AI. I don't think we even have a clue yet where AI is completely going, but the ability to go, okay, remember, this is a machine. It's algorithms. It doesn't know me. It can't understand and or even rightly interpret scripture. It's collating a bunch of words that are online and then trying to spit out something that makes some sense.
Pastor,
and usually, it's going to be relatively superficial in the answers it's going to give.
As we go to break and let you go here, thank you for your time. What would you have done if you had asked the question of ChatGPT and it said, Pastor Hamilton?
Yes, well, Lord, it's me. I'm right here.
Exactly.
What up?
I appreciate you guys so much. Y'all have a great day today.
All right, you be well. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, that is Pastor Adam Hamilton with Resurrection Church in Leawood.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So the tush push is controversial again. The Super Bowl rematch turned into a bully ball yesterday, highlighted by the NFL's ugliest play, according to the Associated Press. Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, and the Philadelphia Eagles pushed literally their way past the Kansas City Chiefs 20-17 on Sunday. However, if you go back and look at the replays, especially from taken from above. Three of the four are all offsides.
Uh-huh. Like half of the O-line.
The other thing is...
including the center.
They had to stop, review one of those plays. Did you see that? It looked like it wasn't a touchdown. Then it looked like it was. And
it totally was. They missed that call.
New York looked at it, Sam, and came back and said it wasn't. Yep. We could not believe it.
The officiating crews have literally given up on it because it is not... officiatable.
It's impossible to tell.
Yeah.
Right?
So get rid of it.
Hasn't it been around forever anyway?
No.
And we just now have a name for it?
No. Well, it might have been, but in fact, it certainly gained
traction with the Eagles.
Yes.
The argument being, specifically at the beginning of the offseason this year, was that it already violated standing NFL rules because you're not allowed to assist in forward progress if you are not the ball carrier. Well, then tell me, what are you doing in a tush push other than assisting in forward progress?
You're going to hate this opinion. It doesn't necessarily bother me. I just wish we would do it and do it well.
Well, The only team that seems to be able to do the tush push is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, it certainly worked last night.
Now, I bet if you start snapping the ball to an offensive lineman, I don't know, say a tackle, and sent them up the gut, and people started getting injured like crazy, they would ban offensive linemen from carrying the ball.
But they did that back in the 80s with William the Fridge Perry, where he weighed 350-plus pounds. And they would hand him the ball when the Bears were on the 1 yard line, and he would run it in almost every single time.
And what happened to the eagle eye or whatever it's called?
Big bird.
I don't know what the eagle eye is.
What are you talking about?
They were talking about getting rid of the chain gangs because they were bringing in the technology with the ball.
Oh yeah, where's the automatic ball spotter technology?
Why didn't that come into play on the tush push? Because again, I hate to give him another touchdown, but that was very obviously across the line.
Also, Scott, could we talk about Jared Allen just briefly? Did you see him at the beginning of the Minnesota game? It was hilarious.
The former Chiefs defensive player?
Yes.
No, what happened?
How many years did he spend in Minnesota? We're getting ready to watch the game. And kind of
more,
like...
More than he did in Kansas City.
Kind of
City.
Like we have the drum, you know, the beating of the drum at the beginning of the Chiefs games.
Yeah, they had Tyrann Mathieu
yeah,
did that.
In Minnesota, they've got this gigantic Viking horn.
It's huge.
And you blow... Scott, it is the size of this building.
3 years with the Chiefs, 5 with the Vikings.
Yeah, I thought it was. Anyway, he shows up. He is wearing the cowboy boots, and you know he's a cowboy. He's a farm boy, and he is the one that's going to blow into this Viking horn.
And he might be a farm boy, but he was born in Dallas.
Oh, they do this clapping, clapping, clapping thing, and then he goes over to that horn, and it just goes.
What does it sound like?
It was hilarious, and I feel like he's as much ours as he is. Mm-mm. Minnesota's 2 years.
Every single Minnesota fan would disagree with you.
No, he was here from 2004 to 2007.
And he did carry our defense.
And then Minnesota for 2008 to 2013. Then he went to the Bears for 2 seasons and then Carolina for 1. But the majority of his Pro Bowl seasons were in Minnesota. He had 1 Pro Bowl season here in Kansas City.
From the text line, eagle eye doesn't spot the ball.
Then what's it supposed to do?
That's all it does.
No, 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 no. The officials still have to spot it where it was down. And then from there, it knows how far it has to go to be the first down or the touchdown.
No,
then it has no purpose.
The eagle eye spots where the ball stops. What it doesn't do is determine if somebody is offsides. Determine if somebody's knee went down first before the ball.
Which is why you still need an official.
Absolutely. I don't even know why they're bringing in this technology. Mm. It's completely worthless. Because if my knee goes down, only a human can determine that unless you're going to put some sort of detector in my knee pad. And then we're just getting weird.
We sound like whiny little babies because we're the Chiefs and we just lost.
Correct.
And you could make the argument because of the tush push.
Oh, come on. I'm not going to say why we lost, but there were 2 things that happened that should not have happened. One involved the football and one also involved the football. We will leave it at that.
So they both involved the football.
Yes, both times.
Apply in the sport of football?
One involved the foot in the football and one involved hands in the football.
So you're talking about a missed field goal.
Just not
and
saying
Travis
that.
Kelce.
No, I'm not pointing blame. I'm just saying there was a foot thing and then there were hand things and here we are.
Oh, you mean when Travis Kelce was about to score a touchdown and the ball fell out of his hands and into the hands of another person?
He tipped it right in there.
He had a otherwise great game except for that one thing.
Might as well have shuffle passed it to him.
It was all good.
Might as well just hand it to him.
We kind of did.
Here, I caught this, but here, you go.
I still cheer for all of our teams. I will continue cheering for the Royals.
Okay.
Do they play tonight?
All the way up until next week.
There's a 3% chance they could still get in. 3%.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Damn right I am.
You are hope springs eternal. You know that?
Hey.
There's a 3% chance the Royals are going to get into the playoffs. Listen, I would want nothing more than the Royals to get into the playoffs.
A lot of things would have to go our way, but it's not over yet.
Okay.
All of the things would have to go our way.
Like, all of them?
Every single one that would have to go our way would have to go our way.
From here on out.
All of them.
913-586-7798. These guys continue to amaze me. Post-Sex Nachos out of Columbia, Missouri. Hey, next time they're... Sam, I know you're connected with these cats. Next time they're in town, have them swing by. I'd love to see them again.
Sure. By the way, the text line is demanding to know, how's Cags doing?
I think he's doing fine. We welcome him to our fine town. And his beautiful fiance and his family.
Oh, he's engaged?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Hang on, let's take a gander at his stats.
Oh, you leave
Not
him alone.
Good. I already looked.
Stop it.
I just wasn't going to dig.
Did you see, because I'm all about positivity in this team, that a Phillies fan caught Salvador Perez's 300th home run ball, and then the staff, they go out there, because it wasn't one of our Royals fans that caught it, it was a Phillies fan. They go out there and they say, hey, you know, it is Salvi's 300th ball. Like, would you mind? Could we get that back?
We'll get you some swag.
Yeah. And the Phillies fan said, I don't want anything. I want Salvi to have this ball. But I would, like, if it would be possible, I'd like to meet a Major League Baseball player. I'm the world's biggest baseball fan. Just a huge baseball fan.
So who they let him meet?
I think probably Salvi when it all was said and done. But and he just handed over the ball. He just said, here, take it. It's his.
Under their breath, they went, and please don't turn me into the Phillies Karen.
No, isn't that lovely?
That is lovely.
Story warm. There are still good people in this world.
No, that's awesome.
Cags' batting average is 151.
Leave him alone. He's doing fine.
Malibu rum?
It's a building year. Keep going.
What'd you say?
151. Malibu rum?
Yep. While we continue to be a nation at war with weight, not all diet advice gives us a competitive edge.
Hmm.
In fact, one common hack dished up by dietitians and wellness experts may do more harm than good and may even contribute to weight gain.
Okay.
Quoting here from Dr. Sue Dakotas out of New York, the biggest mistake, Sam, you're our resident go-to fitness guy now, that you're a certified physical trainer. Dr. Sue Dakota says the biggest mistake is snacking all day, which is often recommended by dietitians. Many proponents of snacking cite a 2022 study that found that consuming consistent amounts of calories at regular intervals may increase weight loss success. However, Dr. Dakota argues that constant consumption is taxing on insulin and sabotages weight loss.
Well, yeah, if you're eating Mike and Ike's as you're snacking.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I brought in a fruit tray today and I brought in some hummus. If you're going to snack, that's not the worst thing to eat.
By the way, the watermelon in your snack tray
very good.
Delicious.
Yeah, very good.
Working from home has been found to contribute to a surge in snacking. A 2023 survey found that remote work fuels the consumption of an extra 800 calories per day and 3,500 fewer steps on average per day. So working from home is not necessarily good for your weight loss campaign.
What if you're running back and forth to the dishwasher and the washing machine?
By the way, 800 extra calories per day working from home.
It's really good to run back and forth to those, Dana, as long as you're not hitting the pantry on the way by. Being a dietitian is outside of my scope of practice. However, I was talking to a client about it, and he was like, you know, it's really just kind of like the same thing I was doing before. I'm eating all the time, but I'm eating the right things. So instead of Doritos, grab an apple. You know? Instead of those Dots pretzels, nothing against Dots pretzels. Man, I can kill a bag
they
of those
are
in one
so
sitting.
So good. Can
Love
we talk
them.
About that? Who is that Dot woman, and what has she done?
But grab a banana instead of some pretzels. Like
have
it's all
you
about
had the honey mustard
eating.
Ones? Stop talking about healthy food.
Is this the D-O-T-T-E?
No, just so Dot. D-O-T. It is like...
Crack.
Snack crack,
yeah.
Scott.
Okay.
Just the normal ones. Then they've got the honey braided ones. I don't know if we'll have time.
See, I don't like pretzels.
I made the mistake one time.
These do not taste like pretzels, Scott.
Of buying the family size bag.
Why would you do that? Why would you do that?
Because he hates his weight loss campaign.
In about an hour, I became family sized. And it was gone.
Sam, you're gluten intolerant.
Uh-huh.
What are you doing? What is wrong with you?
It's so good.
I know.
Do you not have willpower?
No, I do. I just...
Do you know you're literally buying a bag of diarrhea?
No.
It's not just one diarrhea either. It's like a week.
You know what you need? Sky Rizzy.
Mm-hmm.
Ism, kism, rab Rizza.
Ism, revs, ism.
I have a weird question from over the weekend. You don't even know what I'm about to say here, but it is a topic. Uh-oh. I know it, and I don't know why.
All right.
I was outside Saturday and Sunday, actually, and looked down probably over the last week and noticed a daddy long leg. And I remember those from my childhood, right? I was like, oh, look, a daddy long leg.
Leave them alone.
Like one of the only spiders that doesn't creep me out, and I don't know why.
They're not even a spider.
Yeah, I don't know what they are. So you know how, like, the yellow or purple Volkswagen theory, once you see one, you can't stop seeing them?
The Bader-Meinhof effect.
The Bader-Meinhof effect. Mm-hmm. We go out, Scott, on Sunday. We are outside for 4 hours, and everywhere I looked, there, it was the stuff of nightmares. I'm going to be honest. I don't know what's going on right now. Are they migrating? Are they mating? What are they, and what do they do, and what purpose do they serve? I'm not saying it's not a purpose. I'm just curious. We look down, I'm going to be honest, on one of the tee boxes, and you kind of have to look because we're getting old and our eyes are failing us.
I'm aware.
The entire ground was moving. And one of our buddies goes, darn it, Dana, now all I'm doing is looking at spiders. I can see them everywhere now. They were like out of a horror movie.
They may actually be spiders.
No, they are spiders. I was very confused on...
What else would they be?
I misspoke. They are spiders. Yeah.
What else did you think they could be?
I don't know. A bug?
Like they don't bite you.
Well, they actually do, but I think their teeth are so small it doesn't hurt you, because aren't they poisonous?
They are. Their teeth are so small they can't bite you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is going on now? And I'm telling you, just like this Bader-Meinhof thing I'm telling you, now that I have told you guys this, you will go outside, you'll be working in the yard, and this is not a run-of-the-mill. I saw an ant the other day, and then there's another one. There were hundreds of them.
So there's also here there are a handful of creatures that we like almost despise, and we don't even know why. And for example, the daddy long legs, which means you no harm, cannot hurt you at all. There's also the it looks like a large mosquito. You've seen them before.
Oh, yeah, I don't
You're
like those.
You're talking about the skeeter eaters.
Yeah.
They are actually really good for us.
They eat mosquitoes.
That's
okay.
right.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
That's right. And the other one is the opossum.
Could we just call it opossum? Because everybody does, even though there's an O
yeah,
at
but
the
it's
beginning
an
of
opossum.
It. And they gross me out. They're like big, hairy tick about to pop rats, and they gross me out. But I know they are a friend. I know they eat bugs. I know these things.
They mean you no harm.
They gross me out. Do we have no answer on the daddy long legs? I thought someone would call in or write in and say, oh yeah, we're right in the middle of the hummingbird slash daddy long leg migration.
Well, daddy long legs don't migrate, so that would be tough. Tarantulas are currently migrating.
Oh God, I didn't need to know that.
It could specifically where you saw them probably has to do with how often they're watering.
Mm.
So it pushes them into dry places.
What do they do?
They eat smaller insects.
Okay.
Mites.
They feed on decaying organic matter.
Dead insects. Yep. Plant debris, bird droppings.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're a good spider. Actually, most spiders are good spiders.
Do you know what their actual term is? Because it's not daddy long legs.
Is it cellar spider?
It's
Opelions.
Fulcidae.
If you're going to try to teach us a lesson, at least try to pronounce it correctly.
They are they're a member of the phalange.
A long time ago, they were referenced as the harvestmen.
Really?
Yep.
Hmm. Okay. Look down. You'll see them.
And by the way, if somebody tries to correct me on opossum, I am right. You're wrong.
Good Lord.
They're called opossums.
They're Phocus phalangioids.
Where are you seeing this?
All over. Reminds me of Regina Phalange, and it makes me laugh.
Huh?
I can't find that anywhere.
Yes, it's called Phocus.
No, it's called Phocus.
Pholcus. Focus, people, focus.
Exactly.
Then it says phalangioids. It's a Phocus phalangioid.
I think you're making that up.
No, I am not.
Her screen is blank, Sam.
No.
She's just making up words. I'm looking at it right now.
No,
it is blank.
No, it is not. Focus phalangioids.
No, they are from the Fulcidae family.
Thank you.
Let's be careful.
It's very dangerous.
Let's be very, very careful the next time we use that phrase.
Focus, people. Focus.
Okay. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks while we still have a license.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
UCLA has fired their football coach, Deshaun Foster, after the school's first 0-3 start since 2019. Did not go well. Foster, by the way, is 5-10 since taking over the program from Chip Kelly in February of 2024. The Bruins were beaten by Utah in their opener and by UNLV a week ago. Okay. It's kind of a bad record, 5-10. More than two-thirds of U.S. adults are able to name all three branches of government. Let me read that again. That's actually, the story writes as if that's good. More than two-thirds of U.S. adults, 70%, are able to name all three branches of government. The real headline is, a third cannot.
Well, what other branch do they think there is?
I don't know, but this is more than a year ago when it was only 65%. When asked which rights the First Amendment guarantees, 79% said freedom of speech.
Okay, well, it's partly, a little more complicated than that. But
partly true, which is an increase from last year. Okay. Wow. Okay. Some of the other findings here, nearly four out of five mentioned freedom of speech, which is up from 74% in 2024. 48% did mention that the First Amendment also protects freedom of religion.
Okay.
Which is up from only 39% last year.
I'm guessing no one remembers petition.
34%.
Assembly?
Could
anyone?
Also, hang on. It gets
lower, doesn't it?
Yes, we're going down.
No, we're not going in the right direction.
34% of Americans could mention that the First Amendment protects freedom of the press, and 12% were able to identify that the First Amendment also allows us the freedom to petition our government with our grievances. Okay.
Winning.
Not winning, Sam. We're not winning. Wow. There was something else in here. Hang on just a second. Okay, I can't find it.
Well, some states, I do believe, have passed a civics exam requirement before high school graduation.
I think that's good.
If you can pass that civics exam, I would hope that you would be able to identify all of the items you just listed.
This story here from the New York Post. Welcome to the land of the fee and the home of the bills. The price of the American dream surpassed $5 million in 2025, a staggering $600,000 increase from 2024, and nearly 50% higher than just 2 years ago. The American dream, okay, which is the estimated total lifetime cost for a typical American's goals and milestones, including marriage, healthcare, retirement, raising two kids, paying for college, new cars every 5 years, and owning a home, is now at $5,043,323. Keep in mind that people live in New York and in California where it's more expensive. The dream cost $4.4 million last year, and just $3.4 million in 2023. Okay. Uh-huh. In 2025, Dana, the average American is expected to shell out $38,200 for a wedding. $38,200 on a wedding.
Hope you've been saving.
Start saving, baby. Start saving.
You'll have to push that back. All right, we got to run, everybody. Birthdays today. Let's see who we got. Prince Harry is 41. Dan Marino is 64. And Tommy Lee Jones is 79 today. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, who has a new addition to her expanding family. My name is Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.